If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Thank you so much for joining us. Boy, we've had a lot today. We had Jamie Bluma. Gary Lezak had a bizarre forecast for us and updated us on his injured hamstring that he damaged in Milwaukee while walking through a park and looking at his phone. He ran into a bench, which somehow injured his hamstring, but he is recovering. And then we had our social media update with Inter Marissa.
I'm learning a lot here.
Absolutely, you
Snap
are.
Snap beats first.
You better post those cups of coffee. I want to see it. I want to know what you're having. I don't know. About Jared Sutton. Jared Sutton's no stranger to the gram. Jared Sutton, are you active on the IG?
I'd say I'm active on the IG. Yeah. Fairly active.
Inter Marissa's trying to get Nate to post more food and cups of coffee. Would you like to know what Nate's enjoying on a daily basis? Is that something you'd click on for Nate's stories?
Click on Nate's
stories.
Yeah, you guys both.
Right.
It's great content.
Is it?
Must follow.
I don't know if I post enough stories.
Where are you at right now today? You're all over the place. I know you're preparing feverishly for the NBA draft. Are you here local? Where in the world is Jarrett San Diego?
I am in Kansas City today. We still have Zooms all day, but I'll go back to New Orleans tomorrow. We'll be there for the draft Thursday, come back Friday. So it's kind of nice. I was there all week last week, kind of doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of getting the board ready, getting prepared. And then this week it's more, hearing what other teams possibly might do, those type of conversations. We're still meeting on where we're selecting, and then we'll be ready to go Thursday. I'm just excited. This is Super Bowl week in my world, so looking forward to Thursday.
Now, I do have a special request from me. Today, I'm celebrating my 20th anniversary with the lovely and talented Susan St. John. And she likes me a lot, but she likes you more. And so instead of me wishing her a happy anniversary, we have her on the line. Would you, on my behalf, would you wish her a happy anniversary for me so that would actually put a smile on her face? Would you do that for me?
I'd be happy to.
Let's see if we can bring Susan. Susan St. John, good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Oh,
happy anniversary.
She's got a radio voice on.
Yeah,
that's not
does.
How she talks to me. She's like, shut up. Now, I will not wish you that. I have someone speaking for me. Jared Sutton, please, would you do me the honor?
Morning, Susan. How are you?
I'm great, Jared. How about yourself?
Good. I want to wish you and Steven a happy anniversary. 20 years. You guys, I'm getting ready to get married next year.
That's
so
right.
I've always looked up to you guys as a couple and just want to congratulate you on 20 years and wanted to wish you a happy anniversary.
Aww. Well, thank you very much.
What's on the docket tonight? What's the anniversary plans for you guys?
Tell them, Sue.
Well, Steven, you're the one that planned it, but we're going to go see Elvis tonight.
You didn't plan that, Susan?
No. Yeah, we're seeing the Elvis movie because Elvis, let me tell you, 70s portly Elvis married us at the Elvis Chapel. That's the only Elvis
Elvis?
I want old Elvis to marry us. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, old Elvis married us in Las Vegas at the Elvis Chapel, and then the next day, we went to see Marco Antonio Barrera versus Eric Morales 2, the rematch, and I chased Fernando Vargas down in the crowd and made him sign my hat. And so and Susan's like, this is what I married? And also that day, I took my dad to see Chuck Liddell against Vito Belfort. But that was a hell of a guy. That was a great weekend. And so then 20 years later, Jared Sutton, the Elvis movie is premiering at Berry Woods. It's all over the town premiering, but we're going to Berry Woods with our friends, with our family. We're going to have the kids there, and we're going to watch the Elvis movie on our 20th anniversary, and we're going to hold hands, and we're going to love it, And it's a wonderful way to celebrate 20 years with this woman putting up with all my crap. And let me tell you something, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of crap to put up with. And so that's it. How's that sound, Jared Sutton?
Premiering on your 20th anniversary. Like, that's amazing. That's a script. You can't write that up.
Right.
That's amazing.
That's Elvis telling us, TCB, take care of business tonight from heaven. But Susan, do you have any other comments for Jared Sutton or for Nate Bucati or for anyone here before we let you go? Because I know that you have to take Selena to volleyball camp because five sports aren't enough. She has to play all of them. And so volleyball camp today, would you like to have any comments before we let you go? Because I know it takes a lot to get her up and get her ready.
I have no comments. I would just say to have a great day.
She offers a no comment from Sue. Well, let me tell you something. I love you more than anything in the world. Thank you for putting up with me. Thank you for everything that you do for our family. You're the heart and you're the soul. You're the backbone. You're the you wear the pants in the family. You protect us. And you're sometimes you're mean to me, but that's fine. I deserve it. I love you very much. And I hope that you will enjoy our evening together with friends and family. And I hope that you appreciated Jared Sutton telling you happy anniversary instead of me, because I know that you're blushing right now, aren't you?
Wait. No comment. No
Maybe
comment.
A little bit, I would say, but just because I know that you were going to call me this morning and wish me
happy
20th anniversary.
And what did you tell me when I left this morning? I told you I was going to, what did you say? You better not. My phone's dead. It's okay. Oh, see.
Hey, Susan, what was your favorite part of that boxing, the fight that you saw on the weekend of your wedding?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What was your favorite part of the fight you guys went to see on the weekend of your wedding?
Well, actually just, getting out in Vegas and being out about, the crowd at a boxing match. You know, I've never been to one, and it was amazing.
That was your first one ever.
Great weekend.
Oh, yeah. Like a big Vegas fight. They got the stars,
Yeah.
It was pointing. I'm chasing people down. She has no idea what the hell
How did
I'm
you
doing.
Feel about that when he's chasing down Fernando Vargas?
I was like, you're crazy.
She had already had her hands full.
My crazy man.
That's
I got him for 20 more years at least.
That's right.
All right, Mama. Go get our girl ready for volleyball camp. And I look forward to seeing you. When I get home, I love you. Happy anniversary.
Love you.
That's right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That is the one and only Susan St. John. Now we go back to Jared Sutton. By the way, Jared, did you hear? It was audible. Did you hear hearts breaking throughout Kansas City when you said, "I'm getting married next year"? That was including my wife for some reason was very upset when you said that, even though she's married already.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, I've never been to a boxing match either. I've requested tape of your boxing day.
No, you don't want to see that.
But maybe this is something I need to do the weekend of my wedding. It's Memorial Day weekend next year, so I got some time. So maybe, find me a fight or something. Maybe me and Rachel will go to one of those, for our wedding weekend.
Maybe I'll come out of retirement and fight for you. How about that?
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Now, can you go rogue, getting back to what we're talking about, NBA and everything, can you go rogue and just go make a trade on behalf of the New Orleans Pelicans? Do you have that kind of pull?
I don't have that kind of pull. I don't know. I think we're I wouldn't say, that this time of the draft week, there's a lot of things flying around. So I think every team has a trade, on the table that they're looking at. But do those really happen? That's the executing those sometimes can and can't happen. We made a big trade last year. I don't know if you guys remember. We made a big trade with Memphis last year, the week of the draft, to acquire Jonas Valanciunas, and we moved back in the draft. Ended up being, in my opinion, one of the better drafts of the 2021 NBA draft. That was a big, big moment for us leading into the draft, and that whole week was just a shame. We had just hired Willie Green to our head coach. So that last week or last year during this week, there was so much moving that really changed the direction of our franchise. And obviously this year we didn't have Zion, but our rookies played the most minutes and our rookie class, top to bottom from Trey and Herb and Jose, were just great for us. And now we have the eighth pick from the Lakers, which we were not supposed to have after we had made a trade for CJ McCollum. So the way this entire year has really played out, because I really didn't think we were going to have a first-round pick. I thought we'd have a late second, and now we're staring at 8, 41, and 52, and that's a good place to be in this draft.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about a local product that is that's projected to go in the first round. Most people haven't gone in the first round, and that is Christian Brown. I'm looking at one mock draft from Gary Parrish, and he has Brown going number 25 to San Antonio, and then a different mock draft from David Cobb, and this is at CBSSports.com. Has Christian Brown going to Golden State in number 28.
Hello.
So I'm just curious, and you don't have to comment on the team or whatever, but does that sound about right for the area for Christian Brown? Do you think you're pretty certain he's going to go in the first round?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment in terms of his range. I would say late first is really where he's at. I think that's why he kept his name in. I'd be shocked if he fell to the early second round, but it's always a possibility. The one thing that is really interesting about Christian Brown was at the NBA Combine in Chicago, he graded out as the second best athlete during the athletic testing. He was second behind Kendall Brown from Baylor. So that's going – I mean, you're talking about a 6'7", athletic, young, still developing player that I think late first, that's going to be a home run for any team. And probably that, 26 to 30 range. Where I see Christian Brown as an NBA player is really Pat Connaughton from the Milwaukee Bucks. I kind of see him being that type of player.
Who did you say again? Who was that you compared him to?
Pat Connaughton from the Milwaukee Bucks. Really athletic, good off the dribble, good passer, can fulfill a role. I think there's a lot to like about Christian Brown. And I going into this year, I didn't expect him to be in a late first conversation, but the year he had, the improvements that he made on both ends of the floor, winning a championship, is really a good feather in his cap in terms of the competitor he is, what he, his impact on winning. And those teams in that late first, playoff teams, winning teams. And I think Christian Brown will be a very valuable asset and a valuable prospect in that range.
Okay, so you bring up a good point I wanted to ask you because, we're expecting Ochai to go in the top half of the first round and Christian Brown in the second half. When you're looking at prospects, and maybe they're grouped together, how much of an impact or how much of a factor is, like you said, a kid that just won a national championship, or a kid that was involved in big time games and big time atmospheres? Kansas, Duke, Carolina. You couldn't be in more big games than what Christian Brown was. On the biggest stage in this last season, when players are close and you're trying to decide, is that a factor? Winning and performing on a big stage and winning a championship, or do you try to put that aside? Just look at the measurables and the athleticism and the individual interviews. How much do you factor in winning like that?
Winning is important. It's a big part of it. Now, every team is trying to win. And so if you have guys that compete, I think it's the biggest thing. It's, winning, yes, it is something you look at. I think it's more so guys that, care about winning, too. That, even guys that didn't win a national championship, but guys that really compete and were a huge part of their team's success in winning. With players in this draft, let's take Duke, for example. They were loaded, right, this year with talent. They were a team that won a lot of games, made it to a Final Four. That team was stacked. That team's got five arguably NBA draft picks on it, and a lot of them are going in the first round this year. And then you take a kid from like Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara, who was in the WCC, and watching him play, he was the team's best player. And no knock on that team, there wasn't a lot of other NBA talent around it. And the position he played is probably going to be different than the position he plays in the NBA. So you evaluate every player fairly. I think it's the best way to say it. And at the end of the day, Stephen, my job is to evaluate all that comes with the player. That is the intel we get, the background, the intangibles. IQ is very important for us and very, very important for our coaching staff. Willie Green values guys that know how to play, have that basketball IQ as high, that know how to play without the ball. I think this benefits Christian Brown, who we were just talking about. I think Christian Brown has a very high IQ. Ochai Agbaji has a very high IQ. I think Ochai is going to be very successful in the NBA because he's going to go back to a natural role that he's comfortable in, but he got that experience last year at Kansas being the guy that we needed to see that out of him. We needed to see him be more aggressive as a shooter, and he was that, and he improved every year. But there's all these boxes for me that a player has to check. And obviously perimeter players and front court players are different in how you evaluate that skill set. But we always look at competitiveness. We always look at defending. You have to defend in the league. You know, you look at the playoffs, right? The regular season is great. You can win games. Once you get to the playoffs, defense is critical. I mean, you got to have guys that defend. You got to have versatility. You have to have size and length. Those are all things that you do look at. But I think for a perimeter player, I think playmaking is really important. Finishing is really important. You want to look at athleticism too, but every player is going to be different. Every player's situation is different. I always look at the situational analysis too of systems that players come from. Perfect example is Jaden Ivey. I think Jaden Ivey is going to be, I think out of this draft, Jaden Ivey's at the very top of guys that could be superstars out of this draft. Now we'll see if that happens. He's still got some areas of growth and maturity that he has to go through. But you're talking about a guy that played with Zach Edey, who was the biggest player, arguably, in college basketball at the five. And they were traditional, you know, four-out-one in offense. And Jaden Ivey's going to flourish in NBA spacing, especially with the three-point line changing at the NBA level. His speed, his explosiveness, his athleticism, all those things. He's kind of like a DeJounte Murray, Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook hybrid player. And he really is that as an athlete. He's got that level of pop. So you're taking so many factors into this. Johnny Davis from Wisconsin, another great example, right? Wisconsin plays a totally different style in college than Johnny will play in the NBA. And there's not a lot of NBA talent around Johnny at Wisconsin. And he was that good in a league that was one of the top leagues in college basketball. And he was consistent night in and night out in a tough, tough league. He played through injuries. He's an ultimate competitor in Johnny Davis. So there's just all these guys have different profiles. And that's really what you want to grade out, and especially where you're going to be at on the board, what players could be there. That's when it gets really interesting in terms of ironing out what the draft's going to look like for your team and for your organization, what you really want to bring in terms of best talent. I think that's the most important thing. You look for the best talent at the beginning of the draft, and then you start maybe as you get into the late first, into the second, maybe you start thinking more of positional fit, positional need, or maybe even taking a swing if you can, depending on your roster personnel, of taking a guy that maybe is a guy you project 2, 3, 5 years down the road, of a guy like an Ousmane Dieng, who's in this draft, who's an international player from France. He's got a ton of potential. He's not even close to where he's going to be. So those are when you start talking swings and what team can actually, you know, handle taking a swing like that.
Jaden Ivey, I think, has, like, ridiculous upside. I'm not saying he's ever going to be at this level, because I think this guy's one of the best players in the league, but he reminds me a little of Ja Morant in his bounciness. You know, like, Morant's obviously, like, he's generational and everything, but I feel like that's – am I wrong there in terms of that comparison of how, like – because I just look at the springiness of Ivy and how bouncy he is and quick that he is at that size, and that was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, you know, I think Jaden actually shoots a little bit better than Ja did too coming out. Like, Ja really struggled to shoot the ball coming out, but I think Ja was just an exceptional playmaker and passer. And I think that is in Jaden. But Nate, 2 years ago, Jaden was more off the ball. He was more of a two guard. But he's their best player last year at Purdue, and he's their best playmaker. And nobody in college basketball, in transition or in isolation in space, could guard Jaden Ivey. There were multiple games I was at this year where Jaden Ivey just shut the game down. Michigan at Purdue, second half, game was over. When Jaden Ivey just said, everybody get out of the way, this is my game. He did that against Illinois as well. They're just these games you look at. And look, it's the Big Ten. It's a great league. It's a physical league. Purdue plays a specific style. Matt Painter is a terrific coach. He's got some old school tendencies, but he's a terrific coach. And Jaden had to mold into a different position. There are some maturity factors here. Jaden Ivey's got to be a better defender. He's too good of an athlete. There is some question marks of him defensively, of his commitment to defense, and that was something Ja Morant was committed to. It's why Murray State made the NCAA tournament and won an NCAA tournament game. You know, that team, not a ton of talent. Tevin Brown was actually on that team, who's in this draft from Murray State. But Ja was just a unique passer, playmaker. IQ was so elite. He had to improve some shooting. His competitiveness, though, Nate, as you see now with Memphis in the playoffs, like, that dude is a total dog. Does Jaden Ivey have that? I think it's in him. I definitely think it's in him. His mom is a coach, so you love to see that. there's that coach's mentality, coach's kid type of mentality that you want to bring out of him. I still think there even could be some Donovan Mitchell in his game where he's really exceptional off the dribble, has a really good ability to play on a three-level scoring in an NBA offense, but the defensive side of the ball, he's got to continue to get better and better in. I have him very high in this draft. Some teams might view him, you know, top five. Some people might view him in that, you know, top six range. But he is a top player in this draft that, to me, has that high, high upside, like you're touching on, just because of his athletic tools, his explosiveness. He has some areas he's got to improve upon. But you look at a franchise core player, he's in this conversation.
We have Jarrett Sutton on the line. We will take a break and come back and do another segment with Jarrett back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, Kansas City, Stephen St. John here. The 4th of July is quickly approaching, and it's the ideal time to enjoy barbecues, pool time, and relaxing on the patio. One way to really transform your space is with PolyMagic's concrete floor coatings. Trust me, I recently had my garage floor done, and the result is incredible. Hundreds of color combinations available. PolyMagic's floor coatings are ideal for your garage, pool areas, patios, and porches. Their process is slip-resistant, which is perfect for pool areas, and 10 times more durable than epoxy. The crew could even repair some concrete areas before beginning. Free estimates are always available when you go with PolyMagic, and very important, they get back to you within 24 hours of your quote request, so they don't leave you hanging. What you need to do is call Tom and Vince at PolyMagic. Again, remember, free estimates are always available. Ask for the SSJ special, 816-765-4800, 816-765-4800. 4800 or visit polymagic.net.
Greatest shooter to ever live?
He's at the top of my list. I mean, I know it's the numbers with the threes, but I just think this guy is his range, the depth of his shot making, the difficulty of his shot making, the ability to shoot off movement, off the bounce, off the catch, with contests. The degree of clutch shots he's made in his career, the consistency he's played at in the finals because of his shooting. It's so difficult to shoot the ball at that level that he's shot it at. I think if you look back at his numbers, I think this year was the first time he shot under 40%. I think he's at 39 for the regular season. He's been up over 40 his entire career. And that level of consistency is so difficult. That's why he's number one for me.
So, I saw someone debating this on Twitter, and I got a kick out of it. And I thought I'd ask you, does he get more credit for his four titles than LeBron because he didn't have to bounce around team to team to chase him? Or do you still give LeBron more credit? I mean, because everyone says this is the LeBron James era. Does LeBron have to share that now? Because, I mean, Steph Curry's won four titles. And you and Nate have both said he's the greatest shooter of all time. Kind of sounds like he deserves top billing in an era as well. So is this now the LeBron James and Steph Curry era?
I agree. I think so. Yeah. I look at this finals and this this championship too. Like that Steph won. Kevin Durant had left. Klay's coming back from injury. Klay's a big part of it. Draymond's a big part of it. The role players are, but I look at Steph as carrying this Warriors team like LeBron did in some of those finals with the Cavs. That to me is why these guys, and they're two totally different players. And their impact on the game is very different. I still think LeBron, you know, is a game changer, game wrecker. He is positionally the first point center, right? But he changed the game in a lot of ways too. But the shooting part of it, it belongs to Steph, but I think that's why I would put them together, yes, in terms of both those guys have changed the game in different ways, and they're champions, and they've done it with different teams. But the fact that Steph has stayed at Golden State, which we all knew he was going to do, no matter what, it was Steph's team. Even when Kevin Durant went there, and I think Kevin might have thought during his free agency that he might just go to Golden State and be the guy, and he wasn't. Like, it's Steph Curry's team. And it speaks to, again, the level of winner Stephen Curry is by what he's done at Golden State. I think Draymond and Clay and those guys deserve a lot of credit. I think Steve Kerr deserves a lot of credit, too. I'm not taking anything away from those guys. I would even put Andre Iguodala, who was a huge part of that, you know, championship that when they beat the Cavs and he was the NBA Finals MVP. I still think that Steph, at the end of the day, with what he's done at Golden State to win the titles with different factors, different scenarios, that to me is so impressive. And I honestly think when you look at Boston's team going into the finals, I think they had a little bit more firepower in terms of depth to their personnel, in terms of rotations. But at the end of the day, it's still Steph and it's still Clay and it's still Draymond and these guys that have won at a high level. And now when those three are on the floor, it's just tough to beat those guys in a seven-game series. And it starts with Steph, though, at the end of the day.
Oh, man, I love the fact that you said that. That's going to piss so many people off. And I'll add to this. If you guys had to bet right now, I know Nate's got a couple hundred in his pocket like he normally does. If you had to bet, who would you bet on winning another title? Steph Curry or LeBron James right now?
Well, how much younger is Steph than LeBron?
34, and LeBron's 37.
Steph's already 34 years old.
Dang. That surprise you?
I mean, LeBron's got to only have a couple years left at the most, I would think. What I was going to say to back up your point, I think Steph is a we heard the phrase once in a generation talent earlier in the
show
today. Steph is once in a generation. He's changed the way the game of basketball is played.
So you're saying he's like Mondesi.
He's just like Mondesi. He's changed the definition of what a good shot is in the
Who
NBA.
Who would you bet on winning another title, LeBron James?
Steph. What I was going to say about it, though, is to me, like, I still defend LeBron. I think, to me, it's a testament to how good of a franchise the Warriors are.
But is it okay to, like, they share this era? Because I'm not trying to say, oh, you know, I'm just elevating. I'm not bringing LeBron down. Yeah. I'm elevating Steph Curry.
I think that's absolutely fair.
Elevating
because the thing is, to me, like that, and that this is to me, it's like it's damaging to Kevin Durant's legacy, you know, because he went and piggybacked off of an organization that had already proven before and after he was there that they can win titles without him, you know, and he's a great player.
I love this because I still like you feel like. I still feel like you feel like Jake's over there because he'd been so pissed off for you to say that. Will you say that tomorrow because Jake's going to be in studio?
Say what tomorrow?
Just like it damages Kevin Durant's legacy.
It does.
No, I know it does, but it just I just imagine how furious Jake would be when he say that.
Yeah.
He'd slam something down in there.
But that Warriors organization, don't they deserve credit for all of the different really, really good players that they have? I mean, they're a really well-run team, right?
They are. It starts with ownership, right? They're a tax team. They're going to pay. They're going to go above the luxury tax. Joe's said that multiple times, and they've done that. And they've kept their guys, and that's what they want to do.
Andrew Wiggins and you know, get the most out of him.
Absolutely. When everybody wanted to write off Andrew Wiggins, and I mean, that's a great point, Nate. Like, look at what Andrew Wiggins meant to that team, and look what Klay Thompson says about Andrew Wiggins and Draymond and stuff. Like, that was the number one overall pick who was sort of cast aside as, oh, he's not the number one. He shouldn't have been the number one overall pick. Let's re-rank it. And then he goes to Golden State, and he's not only an NBA champion, he was an all-star. I mean, he played at an all-star level all year. And the impact he made on the NBA Finals speaks for itself. I mean, he double-doubles, rebounded the ball. He was just perfect in his role. And Golden State identified that. And I think another thing, too, like everybody wants to tell me about, you know, Kobe Bryant stayed with one team. Michael Jordan stayed with one team. And it's that old school thing of, oh, well, that doesn't happen anymore in the NBA. Well, Steph Curry's done that.
Yeah.
Stayed with one team.
Yeah, but my point is, like,
Kevin Durant. And he welcomes Kevin Durant with open arms. What superstar says, let's bring Kevin Durant, when there was things going on with Russell Westbrook at the time, with Oklahoma City, and said, no, we're this good of a team, and I want to bring Kevin Durant to our organization. And there were still some things with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green that were problems. And Steph Curry was the one that took ownership of that team and made that team gel. And that's why they won. That, to me, to your point, Nate, is why Kevin Durant does look, you know, I think it's a flag on Kevin Durant of just, man, he does not look good in this situation. Now, he's still an elite, you know, all-time great player. Kevin Durant is still in that conversation. He's that good of a talent. But it is a little bit of a knock on him, given the fact that Steph still won a championship with Kevin Durant when there was still some issues going on internally with different personalities. And it can't always be the coach managing personalities when Steph Curry can manage those personalities as your team's best player and a superstar.
It's also a lot easier to stay with one team the whole time when that one team is run well and has a bunch of good players around you. You know, we heard that goofy phrase from Manny Ramirez earlier today about what Jeter would be if he had played in Kansas City. Well, I'll tell you what he wouldn't have been. He wouldn't have been a lifelong Royal. He might have been a Hall of Famer, but he wouldn't have stayed here. You know, like, so it's one thing to stay, like, yeah, okay, so you stay in Chicago with the Bulls when you get surrounded by great players. That's great, you know, but are you going to do that if you are in, I mean, I'm just trying to think of what other team, like, if Michael Jordan had been drafted by Cleveland, would he have played in Cleveland his whole career?
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, maybe, but probably not.
But another thing, too, like, we always talk about, like, I go back to the word selfless, right? Like, Steph had hit peak levels, winning championships. He won an MVP. And, like, when his contract situation was being discussed, it was an automatic, with the relationship he has with Bob Myers, their GM, who's been there for a long time. Bob says this all the time. When Bob Myers retires and when Steve Kerr retires, and they're held, like, Steve Kerr now has 9 championships as a player and a coach. And he said, look, I'm going to be thought of because of Steph Curry. Like, he knows that Steph Curry is why Golden State has done what they've done. He's been the coach of that. He's been able to manage the team in that way. But with Steph, like, there's never been this thought of, well, he's going to test the waters to see what other teams want to lure him to win a championship somewhere else. He has never even thought about that. He is a Golden State Warrior. His family is in California. There was talk, well, is he going to go back home to North Carolina and rebuild, you know, Charlotte's team? No. Like, that was never going to be a conversation because he was committed to the team that drafted him, the team that has stayed true to him, that has invested in him, that has given him fit players around him to win championships, that drafted Klay Thompson, that drafted Draymond Green. Both those guys were overlooked in the draft, by the way. And they've won championships together with it, keeping that core together. And Steph is a huge reason why that core stayed together. But it's also been management. It's been coaching. It's been everything that organization has developed and built. But at the end of the day, it starts with Steph Curry. It always has. It was that before they won championships. I saw that back in 2013, 2014, when they were just getting going. It was still Steph Curry. And Steph hadn't even developed into the player he was. He wasn't the ball handler he is. He wasn't the defender he is now. And that, to me, is always kind of – Steph has improved in all these different areas, and he stayed consistent through it all as a player and as a leader
yes.
of that franchise.
So but let's not have revisionist history. Let's give him a little credit here because I'm looking at this article. He signed a 4-year deal this time last year in August of 2021. And I'm looking at the article. It says, Tuesday's extension will keep Curry in Golden State as the Warriors – will look to return to the finals conversation after finishing 39-33. Klay Thompson will rejoin the team after tearing his Achilles, and the Warriors will look to incorporate recent lottery picks James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, and Moses Moody. Now, how much of an impact did those 3 lottery picks make?
Absolutely. Okay. Well, they might not have made a lot of impact in the playoffs,
right?
But it was not
some super team. But the point is. And before that season, what Golden State won 15, they were 15-50, and then 39-33, and people questioned whether Klay Thompson was ever going to be the same, and Draymond Green was getting old, and nobody thought Andrew Wiggins was the final piece to a championship. My point is, Steph Curry could have said,
"Yeah,
nah, I'm going to go jump over here and win another title or two.
That's fair,
and extend my legacy." He very easily could have. Yep. Okay, that makes sense. You won their play because let me tell you something. In my opinion, LeBron James, he's gone at that point.
That's fair.
He goes and joins another team. He could have, right?
Yeah.
Now my guy Klay might not be the same. Draymond's getting old. We've done plenty here. Let me go to the Mavericks, or let me go somewhere and play with this guy, right? And he didn't. And so I think there needs to be some, because now we're looking at, oh, of course the Warriors were going to win another title. No. There were people there. People were saying that once they sign Wiggins, that the Warriors will never win a championship again.
Well, isn't that the big thing that Steph was pointing out was all the guys that were holding up the zero? He was going to win 0 more titles, and You're right about that. I mean, he's...
Because that wasn't like, oh, he's resigning. They're going to win another title.
And I like seeing it, too. I do. I mean, seeing
right,
teams that stuck with it. That's what was fun about seeing Giannis win it with the Bucks. Yeah. You know, like, he stuck there.
But he gets credit, right? Yeah. I mean, he didn't when he very easily could have, and nobody would have said boo. But he stayed there, and now they won a title, and guess what? They might win another one or two.
Yeah. Well, there's two things to keep in mind. Like, Clay went down with the injuries. Steph had an injury, too, where he was out for, you know, their season was over when Steph went down early on in the season. They drafted Jordan Poole at 28 in 2019, and now with a huge draft pick at 28. You know, he was coming out of Michigan. Again, he was there at 28, and he was huge for this team when Steph was hurt. Steph comes back. They have an asset in Jordan Poole, who's gotten so much experience and can play both the point and play off the ball. To me, to your point, Stephen, and what you're saying about Steph, it goes back to 2016 for me when it's game six, and Klay Thompson goes off for 41 points and hit 11 threes. Like that, because after that, Kevin Durant leaves. And I didn't think Kevin Durant was going to leave. Like, Oklahoma City was in a position with that team to go back to the finals, to get back to the finals, to beat Golden State. And they had an opportunity to do that in their own building in game six. Klay Thompson goes off, Kevin Durant leaves. To your point, like, I still go back and think, well, why did Kevin Durant really leave? Was it so much because of Russ? Because those two were also tied to the hip as well. Like, there wasn't a lot of friction between Russ and Kevin Durant. It just felt like Kevin Durant was putting more pressure on himself to win a championship and thought, well, I'm not going to do it now because we just got beat by Golden State, and I don't think we can get over the hump and beat Golden State. So he left and went to Golden State. So that, to me, is what's, you know, I don't think if Steph Curry's in that situation and it's Golden State, Steph Curry isn't leaving. Like, I just don't see him being like, well, I'm going to go chase the ring with a different organization. I don't think that ever would have happened in Steph Curry's career. That's just not his makeup. That's not his DNA. That's not what he is. He's a loyal guy, and he's committed to Golden State. He always has been. And you watch Golden State win the championship, Steph Curry's going around hugging every single person, support staff, I mean, ball boys. Like, he has that level of just stardom, but it's the leadership. It goes back to what the precedent he set within that organization that is different than any other star. I think Giannis has this impact. I think we could talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo, him signing the deal to stay in Milwaukee. Everybody thought he was leaving Milwaukee. Oh, we can't keep stars in small markets. Well, Giannis Antetokounmpo has done that. I think Giannis is going to stay in Milwaukee his whole career. I would be shocked if Giannis ever left Milwaukee. This is that conversation. Like, what type of star are you? James Harden was a star. He's left and gone all over the place, right? Like, there's these conversations of, are you going to stay with your organization? Are you going to, like, is John Morant going to stay in Memphis? We get it all the time. Is Zion Williamson going to stay in New Orleans? I wish some of these young guys, is Luka going to stay in Dallas? Like, it's the next phase of stars that, what are you going to do, right? What's Devin Booker going to do in Phoenix? That's the conversation. Are you going to go try to chase a legacy and win a championship with a super team, or are you going to do the Steph Curry route? Because that, to me, speaks to why Steph is held as an icon in our sport and why he's changed the game from a skill standpoint. I still talk about the person. I still talk about the leader. I still talk about the dude that changed the entire culture at Golden State when they fired Mark Jackson and there was a ton of turmoil at that point. Steve Kerr took over. It started with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Those two guys were the pillars of that franchise.
Jared Sutton, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Happy anniversary again, Stephen. Have fun.
Thank you. I love you very much.
20th anniversary, dude.
That was good stuff. That was a fiery Jared Sutton.
We got all fired up there, didn't we?
But that's good, though.
Yeah.
Because my only point is the opening was there for him to leave, and it would have made sense to people around. Like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
He wants to win a couple more titles. And he didn't. And it wasn't a given that they were going to win with him staying, you know, because there were a lot of question marks. Like Klay Thompson, did you think he was going to come back and be as good or close to being as good?
I mean, after everything he went through, right. I wouldn't have said I would have bet on that.
No. Right. And I know you love Wiggins, but like when they got Wiggins, oh, there it is. There's another ring for sure.
I
nobody did.
I was not that big of a believer in Wiggins.
And he balled
physically,
out.
Yeah,
right.
Physically, I thought he had every tool in the world, but he just didn't seem like he had some of the other stuff.
But there were no cries, oh, super team, Wiggins, you know. But now look at him. Now look at that damn team.
Right.
Would it shock you if they won again next year? No.
No, no, it wouldn't shock me.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you give away some sporting tickets?
All right, let's give away some sporting Kansas City tickets right now. How about just caller 8 and caller 10? Two pair of tickets to the U.S. Open Cup quarterfinal against Union Omaha tomorrow night at Children's Mercy Park, a game that you can hear live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What time?
I believe 7:30 is the kickoff. Let me double check that. I'm still trying to figure out if I'm – I don't even know where I'm at right now.
You don't know what's going on.
I don't know if I'm coming or going.
Well, I hope you know that.
Let's see. 7:30 kickoff at Children's Mercy Park tomorrow night. A chance to go on to the semifinals if they can get a win over Union Omaha. Should be a good atmosphere. Should be a lot of fun. Get your tickets at sportingkc.com if you don't have them already.
Get those tickets to keep the Omaha people out.
That's right.
I know you like Omaha, but you don't want them to take over the stadium.
No,
I don't. Do you?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Oh, this is our first dance. Did you know that?
I don't know anything about you.
This is the first dance after we're married. Now I'm going to cry. Happy anniversary, Susan St. John, as hopefully you're in the car taking Selena, who is very often late, as you take her to volleyball camp. I love you. This is our song. This is our wedding dance, our first dance. And tonight I will have another dance with you, I hope. I love you. Have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.